Okay, well, look, good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for coming to this press briefing at short notice. To my left is Steve Brazier, who's the National Emergency Manager, and the Deputy Director of Public Health, Dr. Darren Hunt, is to my right. Can I just give you the latest numbers? Our last update had it at 153 cases. The latest numbers in New Zealand are there are 216 confirmed cases at 11 o'clock, 18 probables and 643 suspected cases. Public health officials have advised that there is now wide community transmission in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, and so New Zealand is now moving to the next phase in our pandemic, a phase that is called Manage It. This phase recognises that swine flu is not as severe as originally envisaged, and it's been mild in most cases, but severe in some. But as the World Health Organization has advised, this pandemic is moderate overall. I can advise you today that there is a 30-year-old woman with underlying conditions in a critical condition at Wellington Hospital. She does have swine flu. She is morbidly obese with a history of respiratory problems, and of course swine flu on top of that is making it more difficult for her. So as I said, the health authorities are moving to the manage it phase today. Wellington and Christchurch will change at midday. Auckland will change on Monday, and other regions around the country will move as is appropriate. Information we're going to give you at the end of this press conference will show that there are still no confirmed cases in Northland, Gisborne, Taranaki and Otago Southland, and so they will still be continuing to follow a containment strategy in those areas. So what will change as a result of today's announcement, which reflects the fact that we've been transitioning to these arrangements over the last few days? Well, the major focus is going to go on to helping those who are sick. It will be important that people voluntarily isolate themselves at home if they are sick, but we will no longer be quarantining those who are well and are contacts of those people who are sick. We'll be moving to a more strategic use of Tamiflu for more severe cases and those who are at risk, and Dr. Hunt will talk about that. There'll be more focus on testing severe cases. Right now, it's almost impossible now to be following up on a number of the cases that are coming through, and so we're moving on from that to a greater focus of the testing on severe cases. There will be more limited use of school closures. There may be some classrooms in selected areas, particularly those where there isn't wide community spread. And the most important thing, though, is mum and dad should keep the kids away from school if they're sick. And as I said, we will be, as part of this plan, stopping the contact tracing. For businesses, it's most unlikely there will be any more recommended closures of businesses. Businesses will face the same sort of impacts that they face as part of the seasonal flu, but it will be for a longer period of time. But as I say, it's the likelihood of business closures is much reduced, and medical officers of health may work for businesses in isolated cases where it might be necessary to do something about this. So what should you be doing differently? People can minimise the chances of getting the flu or spreading it by staying at home if they're sick, by good personal hygiene practices, washing hands, for example, and covering coughs and sneezes. The public health authorities in New Zealand, they've done a very good job containing the spread of the swine flu to date. We've delayed widespread community transmission much better than other countries, and we've pushed out the peak of the flu, which may still be some months away. But now it's time for the regions to respond with a move to the new manage it phase. The public health messages are now, if you're sick, stay at home, and if you get worse, please ring your general practice or health line. I'll now ask Dr. Hunt to make some comments before we take further questions after Mr. Brazier.
So as the Minister indicated, the Public Health Services have done a great job in containing the spread of this virus to date. And as we have done from the start of this, we need to put our efforts into where they're most effective. And from here on in, we'll start to see a shift in the emphasis in that regard. Essentially, what that's going to mean, as the Minister has indicated, is that we're going to be focusing more on those people who are more unwell or at more risk of being more unwell, rather than following up every case and every contact. What that means for people is that most people who get sick will be able to look after themselves at home. So it's the same advice: if you get sick, stay at home, don't go to work, don't go to school. And they won't necessarily need to be tested or treated with Tamiflu. In fact, most people won't need to be tested or treated. So it's the basic advice about resting up, fluids, paracetamol, those sorts of basic measures. For some people, they will get more unwell or they might be at greater risk. So those are people who get severe illness or have underlying medical conditions. And we are still telling them that they need to seek medical advice if they're concerned. And that's 0800 Healthline number or their local GP. And some areas are also setting up their own 0800 advice lines. And we've also set up an 0800 number for GPs to support them. But as before, this illness itself is not severe for most people. Most people will be able to look after themselves at home, but please seek medical advice if you're concerned.
This move is part of a strategic move which we've planned for some time, so there'll be different responses in Auckland to responses, for example, in South Canterbury. And while this transition goes on, we expect to see in some parts of the country different things happening, but this is part of the plan which we have had in place and rehearsed in practice, so we're pretty comfortable that the move is appropriate at this time.
And we've got a couple of charts that we're going to give you with the update. We've got a chart here which indicates the New Zealand versus the Australian number of cases. The green line's Australia, and as you can see, whereas we had confirmed cases before Australia started after us, but has had a much earlier rapid increase, and you know that Australia on Wednesday moved to an equivalent status that we have. And because of the work that our authorities have done, we've been able to delay this upswing for a reasonable amount of time, but as you can see from that information, it's now time for us to move to a greater focus on those who are sick. Also giving you this chart here, which, as you know, I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about the fact that we have these sentinel practices around the country that report the number of people presenting with flu-like symptoms. And this is a chart here that this line here indicates the 2008 trend of presentations, the 2007 trend here in the blue, but this new red line indicates the number of people presenting at the Sentinel General Practices for flu. So what this tells us is certainly seasonal flu is upon us, and that there is evidence of widespread community transmission as well. So we'll be giving you both of those charts at the end of the press conference.
It's probably worth noting this is 8 weeks tomorrow since it started. And in that period, we've managed to keep it at very low levels. Now the time has come to move to the next phase of our planning.
Karen.
Is the Wellington hospitalisation as a result of Swan?
Now, if you recall, in week one, we had a couple of kids being hospitalised, I think as part of the Rangitoto party, I think. So we had our early hospitalisations there. We know that in Australia there's a couple of handfuls of hospitalisations there, but this is our first hospitalisation of someone with swine flu. They have underlying medical conditions which have been exacerbated by the swine flu. Yes.
So what is going to be the difference in the way different regions handle it? You said it'll be managed differently in Auckland to Canterbury. Can you explain?
Well, in Auckland there are far more cases, and there's some maps outside you can see the effect. In some parts of the country there are no cases reported yet, so we still have the option there of trying to contain it, which we'll do until such time as it's no longer effective.
Oh, so in those regions where they don't have it, the first phase will be containment.
That's right.
You might even see, for example, school closures, if that's an effective way of responding in a provincial town, for example. Mm.
But look, it's inevitable everyone will be in the management phase.
And the effect of this, though, you expect will be a much more rapid spread of the flu?
I mean, we're already seeing community transmission in Wellington, Christchurch and Auckland. What this is doing is saying that we need to look after those people who are getting really sick and support our health services to look after them. Given that we've got limited resources, we need to put them where they're most effective, and that's in caring for our community and health services.
I accept that, but the lack of the taking away the quarantine requirements now means that it will spread faster.
No, it's a recognition that there already is community transmission, so that quarantine and cluster control measures in some areas won't actually be effective.
And in other areas will be, and we'll continue to use them until things change.
You mentioned resources. How are health services holding up?
Many hospitals in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch are busy. And GPs are also fielding a lot of calls, public health units are also fielding a lot of calls. So there is a lot of winter ills and potential swine flu out there. The number of confirmed cases that we have is likely to be an underestimate of what's happening in the community. Therefore, it's very important to start supporting our health services to manage those cases.
And then many of you will be aware there's high absenteeism rates in many schools around the country, which is a reflection of the winter seasonal flu and transmission of swine flu in some parts of the country.
You talked about the number of confirmed cases being over 200. Does that presumably include the Rangitoto students and they don't have the flu anymore? I mean, how
That's correct. We've got that number.
The last column down here, it's about
58. Yeah, there's 158 people actively have swine flu.
Is that the term that you use? Active?
That they're active, yeah.
And most of those cases, approximately 120 or so, have been in the last week.
So we've 120 in the last week.
So we've seen quite a big surge in the last week. That, as well as the fact that we need to move resources into more effective actions, have been the reason why we've changed.
Yeah. But this is no reason for anyone to be alarmed by this shift. As we've been signalling for quite some days, we're in transition, representing what's happening, reflecting what's happening in the community, and this is part of the plan. It's to be expected. We've seen Australia act like this. This is New Zealand's turn to respond to the circumstances.
When you talk about pushing out the peak, to when and how big is that peak likely to be?
Well, this is part of the reason why we're giving out so much advice and information for people to look after themselves at home, because individuals can still play a big role in actually limiting the spread and pushing down and delaying that peak as much as possible. So the basics about staying home if you're sick and also good hand washing, covering coughs and sneezes are actually still important for actually containing this as much as we can, at least limiting the spread as much as we can as we go forward.
If you're only going to be testing the really sick people and it's a mild flu, how are you going to get any grip on the actual numbers that have been affected?
Well, for many people, in fact, we won't necessarily know whether it's swine flu or other types of flu. But we're starting to move into a phase where we're going to be managing this for most people like we do for seasonal flu. So the distinction won't be as important.
So you won't actually know what the numbers will be, and it won't matter so much?
Well, in terms of ongoing surveillance, we will still have our sentinel surveillance and other measures in place to track how this is spreading, but we won't be doing that for every single case.
And what you're seeing, that's being reflected in Australia now as well. It's whereas we used to be able to rely on those confirmed cases as an indication of spread, as they are now doing in Australia, it's no longer the indication because there's an acceptance of wide community spread.
And what you'll see is this, what we have in this graph here is the consultation rate, which you see is almost twice at this point what it was last year. So you'll see this graph moving.
Has this played a significant surge in the number of serious and critical cases?
Well, every year with influenza, we do see serious illness. So we are expecting that there will be proportions of people with serious illness. So we are prepared for that, and we're expecting that. But again, for most people, it will be like seasonal flu. It will be mild to moderate, pretty unpleasant, but they'll be able to look after themselves at home. But yes, if people do get quite sick, if people are sick with underlying medical conditions like heart conditions, chest conditions, respiratory conditions, diabetes, those sorts of things, then we want them to seek medical advice.
And that may also mean that you will change somewhat
Yes, yes, yes. We are changing our guidance that we're given to clinicians, including how they use Tamiflu, and we'll tend to use Tamiflu for those people who are more at risk or more severe illness, rather than containing the spread as we have done to date.
Well, if they have the population getting the food, what proportion, how many people within that group would be that higher risk group?
Well, there are still a number of uncertainties about this new virus because it's not the seasonal flu. We don't know exactly how it's going to pan out, but it looks like a small proportion from overseas figures. And if we can get to those high-risk people early and also treat the more severe early, then we hope to actually limit the severe illness as well.
So do you know when the peak's likely to be for pushing it out?
No. I mean, there are still uncertainties around how this is going to evolve and pan out. We're just trying to tell people to do the right thing so they can actually help us limit it.
It'll certainly be months rather than weeks.
So do you have modelling that would suggest if you know how many confirmed cases and suspected cases, actually how many there probably are in the country who have it or have had it?
We don't know exactly how the virus is spreading in terms of the numbers of people that get infected from every other person, but we have some suspicions. But again, we don't know how it's evolving in New Zealand yet. We don't exactly know when the peak will be. We don't know exactly how many numbers we'll get.
There's been roughly 1,000, you know, suspected or who've had it.
Well, we think that's an underestimate. We think that there are more cases probably out there, and then of course we start to get a mix of what are normal winter ills and know exactly which is swine flu, which isn't.
How are we doing with supplies
of 10 million doses of pharmacies? Those supplies, the national stockpile is still adequate. It's a strategic reserve, and we'll use it strategically.
Why is Auckland not moving to manage it
phase
today? Why Monday?
It's their judgment based on the figures they've got and the resources and their plans, and they'll move progressively over the weekend.
What's the case for Relenza being used over Tamiflu?
So far, Relenza has been used for those people who can't take Tamiflu. Tamiflu is an oral medication, whereas Relenza is through a puffer. So people who can't take medicines, oral medicines, like they might have vomiting or diarrhea, or even young kiddies that can't take pills. At this stage, we've mainly been using Tamiflu. We just have Relenza there just in case.
Tamiflu doesn't cure it though, does it?
Well, for those people who do get quite sick, if they do get Tamiflu treatment early on, then they can actually get benefit from it. Some strains of seasonal flu are resistant to Tamiflu, but this particular strain of swine flu is sensitive to Tamiflu, so it can have benefit for individuals. But for those people with mild to moderate illness, they're less likely to receive the same sort of benefit. And of course, we want to make sure that we reserve the resources for those people who really do need it.
Are stocks now back up to reasonable levels in pharmacies?
I'm not sure about the pharmacy stocks.
I think there's been quite a use by pharmacies. Our stocks are still adequate.
A lot of pharmacies are reporting no stocks at all late last week, early this week.
Yes, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, again, for most people who have mild to moderate illness, who don't need to go see a doctor, they won't necessarily need to take Tamiflu. The basics are still the important things: rest, fluids, Panadol for fever, those sorts of things.
Can you give us about a vaccine?
Well, a vaccine may be a useful part of a strategy going forward. It's not part of the plan currently, and of course we don't actually have any vaccine in the country at this stage, but it will be context dependent. So as this evolves, if it's possible that a vaccine would be useful, for example targeting frontline health workers, then we'd look at that carefully.
We've got a number of options and we're talking to suppliers at the moment.
Officials have not recommended a nationwide vaccination campaign. Any other questions? So look, thanks very much for coming across. Just to clarify another couple of points, we're remaining in code yellow. We're not moving to code red. This is a reflection of the spread, not the severity of the flu. and so we're remaining on the status that we are. And we're moving today because of the widespread community transmission of swine flu, the fact that we've got large numbers of people out there in the community, and our focus is now moving to helping those people in the community who have the illness. And as has always been said through the case here, there's no reason for people to be alarmed. This is, for most New Zealanders, will be a mild illness. It will be severe for some, and we're making sure that the health service is there to provide the care that's needed for those who will have severe symptoms. The country is going to manage through this if everybody acts sensibly, that if you've got flu, you don't go to work, you don't go to school, you don't go spreading it around, because frankly no one's going to thank you for it. So look, thank you all very much for being here, and can I just say, with these guys here sitting opposite me, the public health authorities in New Zealand have done a very good job for our country over the last 8 weeks, and now is the time for us all to move in supporting them and just doing the sensible things we can do as individuals and families to reduce the spread of the disease. And can I also say thank you to you in the media, because the work that you've done in getting the public health messages out there and giving these people the opportunity to talk to New Zealanders has really been fundamental in making sure we're preparing for the country and keeping people informed. So we'll keep updating you with our regular ministry newsletters. We've got the copies of these charts here for you, which will be of interest, and we'll continue updating you on information that we have. So thanks very much.